I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to
Snowy
Here
Afternoon.
I Am Lord. Yes, what do they say about March? In like a lion.
Out like a lamb.
Out like a lamb. I think that's what we're experiencing. It's quite a difference from yesterday, isn't it?
I'll say. We're out on the back porch.
Yeah, working, I think I got sunburned yesterday. It was 80 degrees. I woke up this morning thinking, do I have rosacea or did I get a sunburn yesterday? So here we are. Here we are. Here I am, Lord. And our hope is in the name of the Lord, right?
Amen.
Who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
And funny enough, we were discussing hope before we came in here today, and we thought it would be a nice segue from last week's commentary. We had talked about peace last week, and St. Francis's, the prayer that they attribute to St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace.
Correct.
And part of that segue is this week we were going to talk about hope, and our hope is in the name of the Lord. And we walked in here today only to find this beautiful flyer on the desk for part of the announcements, and it's the 10th annual Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat. It's on April 18th, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It is at Our Lady of Fatima Church Auditorium, located at 501 New Market Road, Piscataway, New Jersey. And the title... What is it? How do you say?
Piscataway.
Piscataway?
Yeah.
Pistachio, New Jersey. So anyway, it was funny because it says, hope, the answer to suffering. So I thought, well, that answers it. That was nice confirmation that hope is a good topic to talk about today, right?
Yeah. Great people.
Great people. It's the Most Reverend Efren Esmelia. It is Father Timothy Christie. He's the rector of St. Francis of Assisi Cathedral, and that might be a cathedral we want to visit because we are in the year of St. Francis, like we said last year, and part of the plenary indulgence would be to visit a cathedral that is dedicated to St. Francis.
Right, for a plenary indulgence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hear that, Mr. DiCarlo?
Yes. But I also read online, and you guys can check for yourselves, that Padre Pio Shrine in Bartow, Pennsylvania has been named officially as one of the designated sites for this year. So I found that to be thrilling because that's a great trip. If anyone hasn't been there yet, that would be worth the drive and worth your time, right?
Yeah, love it there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And anyway, back to this. It'll be Kathleen McCarthy and Father Ignatius Mary, I can't even pronounce that.
Maybe we won't even try.
Okorulji or something. He's the founder of the Communitas Mater. So anyway, this form, I don't know if it'll be up on the website, but we'll repeat the information again throughout the show. And it is April 18th from 8 to 4:30. I think it's going to be a beautiful day. Registration has a suggested donation of $45 in advance. Children under 10 are free. $50 if you register at the door. And that includes a light breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. The registration deadline is March 30th. So you still have some time here. And they're asking us to please register early. Seats are limited. And if here's the website. This might be easier. www.olfparish/event. Again, that's www.olfparish/event. Yeah.
Backslash event. Yep. So that's the Sunday after Kathleen's Divine Mercy Retreat. Yeah, she's April 10th to the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's Saturday or Sunday?
I have to look on my phone. I actually don't know that. But it's April 18th. That's all I know. And then, yes, Kathleen's other retreat. Kathleen's going to be very busy. She said that. She's going to come home from
Saturday.
Florida. It's a Saturday.
Apologize. It's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she will be hitting the ground running, as she likes to say. She gets no time.
No time.
So we hope you're resting up in Florida, Kathleen, because you're going to have no time when you get home.
And then move right on to the following weekend.
Yeah.
It's the Wake Up America dinner.
Mm-hmm. Do-do-do.
The one, the only... The fabulous Wake Up America dinner.
Yes. We love it.
You know, support the Radio Apostolate. Support our beautiful programming. Keep us all close to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody does beautiful baskets for it. Every year.
Right?
There's fabulous baskets.
Fabulous.
And you know, Kathleen Speaks, silent auction, raffle drawing at Malvern Retreat.
Yes.
It's dinner, but it's 1:30 to 5:30 right at Malvern Retreat House.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful event. Lots
of
camaraderie.
Red, white, or blue sponsorship, right?
Yep. Donate a basket.
250th birthday of America.
I know. That's amazing.
So special Wake Up America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus also. It's beautiful.
Awesome. So there we are.
Beautiful.
Your calendars
beautiful.
Are full.
Mm-hmm.
Your calendars are full.
Yeah. So we have a lovely show today. And again, we mentioned that our theme is hope. And hope is the answer to suffering. And we were discussing before we came in here, who no one has suffered more, they say, than Our Lady herself, right?
Yes.
She understands she has suffered more than it. And obviously Christ. But they shared in their suffering. They share the same heart. They're of one heart and one mind. So we were going to open with a little prayer to Our Lady. And we were going to do the Memorare. So please join us as we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most compassionate, Blessed Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee we come, before thee we kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy clemency hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Mary, we are in the season of Lent. Like we said, it's the fourth Thursday of Lent. And the hope after the crucifixion is obviously the resurrection, right? He is risen.
Absolutely.
He came and he conquered death and he conquered sin. And that gives us a lot of hope. I actually think all throughout the history of the Bible, the Lord gives us, God gives us signs of hope and faithfulness. If you look at the story of salvation, you see the pattern of God's promises all throughout humanity's struggles, and God always remains faithful. You see it in Genesis. He promised that evil would not have the final victory. Yay. The first promise toward a future Savior who would overcome sin and restore humanity to God. And that's actually amazing. Sometimes I wonder if we overlook that or if we forget about that. All the promises throughout the history of the Bible, you become so familiar with these stories that when you're in your everyday life, you want to apply these principles, right, or these truths to your everyday life, and it's easy to forget. And even the Jews all throughout history always forgot.
Yeah.
God's law and God's promises and God's faithfulness. So we're lucky that we have examples of great saints and we have Our Lady to turn to, because even when our Lord was hanging on the cross, What did he say? He said, son, one of the things he said anyway, behold your mother.
Right.
And
mother.
Behold your son.
Behold your son.
Yeah. And that's beautiful because even though we put him on the cross and all our sinfulness, the most tender, dear, closest thing to him was his mother. I mean, imagine that, how much you love your mother. Kathleen even talked about when her son spoke about that at her 50th Jubilee.
Yeah.
And how touching it is to know that someone loves your mother. And that would be a hard thing to give away if you really think about that. Especially to someone who just hurt you so badly, right? So you're hanging on the cross. You took on the sins of the world. They just persecuted you. They beat you unmercifully. They were terrible to you. And yet you're going to give them the most beautiful, precious gift, the closest gift to your heart. That's actually right. Incredible to think about.
The one person that you really believe.
Yeah. And who stood by your side.
Yeah.
And that was his mama, you know? And it was his prize. You know, the perfect mother, and he
the only perfect human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Kathleen likes to say he doesn't give us what we deserve, right? He gives us mercy, he gives us love, and you can really trust in the promises of God. And in times like these, I think we have to have a lot of confidence in Our Lady and in her protection. And that she won't deny us in our time of need. And she will take our prayers to the side of Jesus, to the pure side of our Lord. And she has our back.
Absolutely.
She's looking out for us. And there's a lot of saints that are dedicated to Our Lady and that give us great signs of hope. We were talking about Esther a little bit, actually, from the Old Testament.
Right.
I love Esther. I don't know why. Esther is like a kindred soul for me. I love her.
Well, all those things you just said lead to hope.
Yeah.
That's the path to hope, when you remember all those things and you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How could a Lord that loved you so much to die for you, give you his mother?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Send all the prophets.
Yeah.
To remind you when you're getting off path.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Parenting. Even, yeah, even on a personal note, I had a real aha moment with that. One time I was in a church, right? And I was by myself. And I was kneeling down, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord, right? And I was telling him whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. But anyway, I was pouring out my heart, and I was lamenting about something I felt was unjust that was happening to me. And I was saying, I tried this, and I tried that. I'm trying to be faithful, and I'm trying. And our Lord really spoke to my heart that day. And I guess I was kind of getting to the point of like, I haven't been hearing from you. Where are you? Where, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I gave you my mother. And it really struck me. And I was like, oh, that's actually unbelievable. I gave you my mother. And it just occurred to me, look to Mary, trust in Mary.
Right. Go to the heart of Mary.
Go to the heart of Mary. And, even in all your sinfulness and all your mistakes and all your falls, I gave you my mother.
Right.
There's so many different levels to it. And I was like, wow, that is actually unbelievable. And actually, it occurred to me how hard that was for him. That would be really hard to give someone who just did all these horrible things to you and you give them your mother. No, you'd rather.
Right. Keep them in the shit. That's your new thing.
That is the last thing that you would want to do. You'd want to keep your mother for yourself. You would want to run to your mother yourself. Like, that was his refuge. That was
That's what he was telling you.
Yeah.
Whatever you were telling him, he was saying, I gave you a mother.
Yeah.
Go to your mother.
I gave you my mother. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your heavenly mother.
Your heavenly mother.
Because now she's your mother, too.
And she's your mother, too.
Your heavenly mother.
Mm-hmm. So that is a beautiful thing to contemplate. And if you spend a little time before the Blessed Sacrament, maybe thank our Lord for giving us his mother. I mean, I just, yeah, it moved deeply in my heart when I read that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which tomorrow and the next day, the Pope has asked for a day of prayer.
Yeah, March 13th and 14th.
A global day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For everyone to pray.
24 hours of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme was, I have come to save you, right? The Lord said, I have come to save you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Pope said the theme was.
Yeah. And so you can look it up and look in your church bulletins and see if your particular diocese is offering any of these 24-hour services, because it'll be the Blessed Sacrament, confession,
communion.
I don't know if they'll have any like special meditations.
Right.
A lot of churches are doing 40-hour devotions right now. There's also, I don't know if everyone's on the same schedule for all these things, all these different parishes.
I don't know if they said fasting. You have to look it up in the...
Yeah.
I was trying to get it.
So, anyway.
24 hours for the Lord.
Yeah.
Announced that the 13th, 24 hours for the Lord, will be held in all dioceses March 13th to the 14th. Celebrated annually on the eve of the fourth Sunday of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
The event invites the faithful to Eucharistic adoration and the Sacrament of Reconciliation as part of the Church's post-Jubilee 2025 mission. This year's theme, chosen by Pope Leo, I have come to save the world.
Yes.
So
that's a powerful theme.
2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go. Our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we can hope in the name of the Lord. He's trustworthy. He's shown us time and time again through different examples, through the lives of the saints, through even when we're in desperate situations, when we feel hopeless. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You feel extreme anxiety, right?
Yeah.
You feel, so it's a terrible situation. And hope is an important virtue to embrace, and it's important to believe that we can trust in the Lord. That's why I was saying Esther is the Old Testament example we were thinking of. She was in a terrible situation and she could not see any way out. And she had written to Mordecai, she said, if I perish, I perish. Right? She said, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Yeah.
She went before the king with her plea and
she
her
asked
prayer.
For prayer, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was in prayer and ashes and sackcloth and fasting. And she asked all the people to fast and they listened. And prayer and fasting is it's very important. And it worked. The Lord was faithful and he answered her and she had a happy, happy outcome there. So we love Esther. She was very courageous. I think mercy goes in alignment with hope, because God's always showing us mercy.
Courage, probably.
Courage. That's
probably
what I was trying to
courage
say. Courage
is needed for hope.
Courage. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Because hope keeps you in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking earlier that the past keeps you bound. The future keeps you out of the present. Jesus mm-hmm. is the eternal now, the great I am. He is here, present. So as the great I am, he's saying stay present also. Because really, when you don't have hope, hope is, you know, looking for, is trusting in.
Trusting. Mm-hmm.
In
having confidence. And
confidence in the Lord and confidence mm-hmm. in the outcome of whatever your situation is, right?
Yeah, and it's trusting that the Lord will always, even if it's not the answer we're expecting or the answer that we're asking for, he will always do what's best for our soul. And he will always do what's best for his plan for your life. The Lord has a plan for your life. Nothing is random. We were all born. He knew us before he knit us in our mother's wombs, right?
Yes.
We were born in his image and likeness.
Right.
And he has a plan. And so no matter what circumstances we get ourselves into or that happen to us, we have to trust and hope. And it's kind of like a knowing, too, that God's going to lead us exactly where we were meant to be and exactly to the path that he's calling us to.
Which a lot of times you need courage for.
Yes, exactly. I would say 100% of the time you need courage, too. What does Kathleen say? God doesn't promise us a cruise ship. It's never really the cruise ship, right? It's always something, a trial, a hardship, a struggle.
Hardship, not the cruise ship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the battleship. He told us that we were going to be on the battleship and we had to put on the full armor of God and be battle ready, right?
Yeah.
And scripture is a big part of that. Knowing scripture, trusting in scripture, all the answers are in scripture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They even promised that in Medjugorje, that all the answers, everyone goes searching for the prophetic words and for this and that. And they say, really, all the answers are, or they want to know, is this year the year? Is, you know, is this the end times? Are we in the, you know, we know we're in the end times, but is this the end of the world? What's going to happen with the chastisements? What's the day? What's the hour? And you just kind of have to trust.
Or a time such as this,
mm-hmm.
whatever time we're in. But anytime you're, anytime you have someone in your family who's sick, or you're sick, or you're in financial trouble, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of your kids is in legal trouble, or, you
yeah,
have
I mean, that is
a
oof.
Child with an illness, or a premature child, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, some women are struggling, women and men, struggling with decisions to keep a child. I mean, there's so many situations where
mm-hmm.
fear can crush hope.
Yeah.
So to stay exactly. in hope, you have to
stay in hope,
trust and
stay
faith.
In trust.
And mm-hmm. and stay in communication, really. Staying close to the sacraments keeps you, you know.
It's key.
Keeps you a little bit closer to the hope line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the stories of saints don't always turn out, you know, with a rainbow and
right.
a pot of gold at the end.
Mm-hmm. Maximilian Kolbe is a good example of hope, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he offered his life in exchange so the other woman could keep her life, and because she had a family and children. But he had hope and trust in the Lord that the Lord was going to take him exactly according to the Lord's plan. And that was not, he went singing into heaven, they say. He sang his way into heaven, which is a beautiful story. And he had a lot of suffering, but he sang through his suffering. Woohoo!
Right.
Whistle while you work.
Because right. he was yeah. in a concentration camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. So.
And he was a great example of hope to the other members in the concentration camp. Because in dire situations like that, someone who has hope and will stand out as the courageous one, as the example, right? Because it's easy to forget. We human beings, we forget very easily. And it'd be real easy to fall into despair and lose our peace. Or you stay in hope, you stay in faith, you stay in trust. And that is how you attain peace.
I mean, I can't say what would happen if I went into a concentration camp like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thought is so dire.
Well, you would hope.
But I would hope. that all my that, years of mm-hmm. prayerful attentiveness
mm-hmm.
Would let me adapt to the situation, like
mm-hmm.
you and know, Medjugorje saying there's times to come, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. that are going to be difficult. I think all of us, all of God's warriors, are going to have to stand up and be the hope,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be ready to be the hope. So,
mm-hmm.
so reading the stories and remembering. The faithfulness of the Lord. Just remember to be hopeful.
Yeah.
Be that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
And look to the examples of the saints. There are some great saints. Mother Teresa was a great saint of hope. She saw hope in the face of all those in the gutter and whatnot. Saint Faustina, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cabrini.
Cabrini, all Saint Josephine. There's a lot of saints. I'm sure you have your favorite saint that you would like to turn to.
I mean, St. Faustina gave us the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when you find yourself in a situation, or not you, but, so, you know, when people find themselves in situations, sometimes, a lot of times it was human error that got you there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that the Lord did, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that Divine Mercy is your trust that, you know, the Lord's going to come in and make good out of the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Turn it around, and that's kind of like St. Faustina.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's actually a beautiful prayer that we were discussing the other day. And Faustina, you have it in front of you. She goes through the five senses and how it can be important to pray through the senses. You can go through
it a little bit. She wants to be completely transformed into his mercy and be a living reflection. The greatest of all divine attributes is his unfathomable mercy. So she asks that it pass through her heart into the soul of the neighbor. So that's mm-hmm. kind of the same thing we're talking about with if hard times were to come.
Mm-hmm.
be God's warrior, be that person of hope, be that person who the Lord's mercy comes through you to your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Channel of your peace.
And so she goes down with, help me, O Lord, that my eyes might be merciful, that I might never suspect or judge from appearance, but look for what is beautiful in my neighbor, and come to their rescue. That's really beautiful.
That's really beautiful.
Because that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not to judge, not to have that instant judgment.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if you're being persecuted or if they're hurting you or harming you or depending on the situation that you're in. But
even walking down the street.
If it's a situation of war or something, if you could see the other people. Yeah. Like we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even walking down the street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in everyday life, if you're walking down the street, think about the different... Let's take New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so many characters are coming at you and everyone has their own personality, their own style there. And it's like subconscious judgments happening every
mm-hmm.
millisecond,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
So to see their soul, our dad used to do an exercise like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember he went through?
He goes through phases. I love you. I love you.
He goes through, as his kids, we say he goes through phases where he's really into this or really into that. And
yeah.
At one time it was, when I walk down the street, I don't even see the people. I just see their soul.
Yeah.
I tell myself I don't even see them. I just want to see the soul.
It's like seeing the face of Christ in everyone.
I love you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, if someone's
not
being the divine soul, you say, I love you. I love mm-hmm. you. I love you. And
look
they
for the commonalities.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somehow it turns it around.
Yeah.
So that's her eyes. Then she says, help my ears to be merciful, to give heed to my neighbor's needs, not to be indifferent to their pain and moanings.
Mm-hmm. And she probably heard a lot of people's pain and moanings based on who she was and if she was receiving people, and everyone was probably asking her, pray for me for this, pray for me for that, right? Or
yeah.
I need help.
Faustina, the Lord send her to people. She
yeah.
would send her spiritually to people too.
Right. So that was, you know, that was probably a really sincere, that prayer right there.
And she sort of could read people's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would call it hearts or souls, mm-hmm. and the Lord would bring them and she would have to sort of suffer for them and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
So her ears did become merciful. Help me, O Lord, that my tongue might be merciful, so I should never speak negatively about my neighbor, but have a word of comfort and forgiveness for all.
Yeah, that's beautiful, too. And that is high and lofty goal.
We just
if we can...
we just had a conversation about this.
Yeah, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right?
And even if you're a little upset by someone cuts you off, that's the number one general mm-hmm. thing you could say. You get angry mm-hmm. at the guy who cuts you off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yeah.
then you know, when you curse someone, you really do curse them. I don't know.
Yeah,
know
that's
that.
That's a reality that you have to recall.
Mm-hmm. You have to be careful because what comes out of your mouth really does curse or bless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's the pebble in the pond theory.
Mm-hmm.
So then someone hears you, so then you influence their thought about that person, place, or thing. Those 10 influence another 10.
Yeah, the tongue is a
powerful
tool.
And before you know
it, yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. your one little comment was a pebble in the pond, and you don't see where the ripples go, but the ripples go much further than we think.
Yeah, can cause wounds.
Yeah.
Or blessings, right?
Or blessings. We don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So the tongue. So we did the eyes, the ears, the tongue. And the last one she says is my hands. Help me, O Lord, that my hands might be merciful and full of good deeds, so that I might do only good to my neighbor and take upon myself the most difficult and toilsome tasks.
That's a big one, too. If you really sit with these and think about these are,
yeah.
If you were able to practice them, you would be on your way to sainthood, too.
Exactly. Thank you, Faustina.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting ready to go to break, so thank you for listening to us for this first half hour.
Great to be with you.
Great
to be back.
Be with you.
Enjoy the snow.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. This is your host, Marta Kyle. We forgot to announce ourselves.
And Tara Wolfington.
And Tara Wolfington. Here I am, Lord. It's the second program. And we are very grateful that you have tuned in. And for the second half of the show, we are going to read
Marta
the gospel.
And Marta is the host, and I jokingly say that I am the, I'm her Johnny, I'm her, she's Johnny Carson, and I'm her little
the trusty sidekick.
I'm her Ed McMahon.
Yeah. And then someone said, Ed McMahon stole the show, you know.
Oh, every now and then, every Ed now McMahon and then. Stole the show.
Yeah. Exactly.
He was actually friends with some of our family. He was a Philadelphia guy.
He was. He was. Yeah. And he had a great sense of humor, I'm told.
Yeah.
And he loved pranks. He loved to horse around and he loved the beach. And yeah.
I'm not really a prankster, but I do horse around and I do like the beach.
So there you go.
So there you go. 2 out of 3 is not bad.
Yeah. We will be just fine.
Yes.
We did quickly review, I don't know if anyone's just tuning in, that the 10th Annual Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat will take place April 18th from 8 to 4:30. And you can visit the website at www.olfparish.com/event to look up the details. It will be with the Most Reverend Efron Esmelia. It will be Father Timothy Christie, who is the rector of St. Francis of Assisi Cathedral, and this is the year of St. Francis, so we're excited about that. Kathleen McCarthy, our very own, and Father Ignatius Mary of SDV. He is the founder of Communitas Mater Domini. So you can look that up online. It's going to be a great event. You do have to register. It's $50 at the door. It's $45 in advance. And the deadline is March 30th. So please join us. It's going to be a great day. And then the Divine Mercy Retreat at the Malvern Retreat House will be April 10th through the 12th. That is also with Bishop Efron Esmelia, Reverend Stephen DeLacy, and Kathleen McCarthy.
Dream team.
Yes, the dream team. She is going to be very busy. And that website for registration is www.divinemercyretreat.com. So that's the second website, www.divinemercyretreat.com. Registration.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful retreat.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a beautiful weekend. It's $290 if you spend the whole weekend in person. It's $75. It says virtually. So I guess they're offering a virtual. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
And then $100 if you're just going to be in person under the age of 22.
But I mean, for me, this is one of the biggest moments of the year.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was. You know, it's definitely worth your time.
Divine Mercy, and then you're there, and you.
And we were saying
all the boxes, if you will, for
yeah,
your,
Divine Mercy weekend is so powerful, and the promises that come along with the Divine Mercy. Definitely look them up if you're not familiar with them, but it's even more than a plenary indulgence. It's a complete clean slate, like a new baptized baby. Right. You are fresh.
From Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Faustina.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And we just reviewed Faustina's little prayer there.
I mean,
and then
it's from Jesus to Faustina. He said, I want this Sunday to be divine mercy for my people.
Mm-hmm.
We went to, as you know, we went to Faustina's place in Poland.
Yeah, Krakow.
Krakow, Poland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was amazing. There was just a feeling of peace there, and her remains were there, and John Paul II, and everything was divine mercy oriented. So so that was made it special to us, too. But the most special thing is that it came from the Lord himself. Mm-hmm. And the prayer we just read was Faustina, spread. Right?
Yeah,
throughout the world. Eyes be merciful, ears be merciful, tongue be merciful, hands be merciful.
Yeah. So and no matter how grave, I mean, Faustina even said, no matter how grave, our Lord said, I should say, to Faustina, no matter how grave or how scarlet red the sins are, he will wash those sins away in his mercy, in the ocean of divine mercy. And
the greater the sinner, the more
right they have to my mercy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deserving.
And again, Kathleen says he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's for sure. He gives us his mercy. And this is a huge opportunity to put yourself in that ocean of divine mercy, right? To
It's right after Easter. You have a big celebration, and it only gets bigger by divine mercy Sunday.
And this,
washing you clean.
Yeah. And it erases not only when you go to confession and whatnot, your sins are erased, right? But the stain is left behind on your soul.
Right.
So you still, but this even washes away the stain of the sin. So it's actually, that's mercy, all
right. Right.
So be not afraid.
The punishment.
Be not afraid. Go up, join us for the Divine Mercy Retreat.
Yeah, it's a great retreat.
And don't be afraid of confession, right? It's the greatest gift God gave us, the sacrament of confession, besides the Eucharist. I mean, it's really a beautiful gift.
Bounce joyfully
mm-hmm.
to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Some people are still afraid to go, but I would just be reassured. There's nothing that the priest hasn't heard. He's not there to judge you. And I was just listening to something on the radio the other day that said, you're afraid to go in with these sins because you think they're so deep and they're so dark. It could be sins of the flesh. It could be sins of whatever. Maybe you robbed a bank. Maybe you killed, you know, whatever you did. But the priest actually would receive that with great joy because he understands the sacrament of confession, and he would understand the release that you're receiving and the mercy that you're receiving. And so he's not there to judge you. It's like the prodigal son. He'd be actually there to encourage you along your way and praise and thank God that you had the courage and the hope to go to confession.
Right.
So don't be afraid.
And you still have to go to confession and confess the sins, and then divine mercy wipes away actually the, it's not punishment, what's the word they use?
The temporal punishment?
Yeah, so he wipes away the sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then
you're still left with the stain.
Yeah,
there's a stain left on your soul. It's like having a white shirt and you spill on it and you bleach it out, but there's still that little mark of the stain there.
Yeah.
So that's what purgatory is supposed
to be.
Well,
he's a god of
right?
justice, so you still have to pay the justice, even though you're forgiven the sin, right? But
mm-hmm.
the divine mercy wipes that out.
Wipes the justice out,
so divine
out, yeah.
mercy does it. You still have to go to confession. That's my point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's why I'm just tying it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you come to the retreat, you'll have all that. You have confession.
Yeah. Adoration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. A renewed sense of hope, a renewed sense of courage, and bring a friend. You know, don't be afraid. Bring a friend. And for those of us who think that we live super clean, super holy, super non-sinful lives.
We don't.
Go to confession anyway. That's what that would be the recommendation. Go anyway. Because there's always something.
Right.
And we can't see ourselves sometimes. We can't always see our own sin, you know. Like the people in the gospel today, they probably couldn't see their own sin in the moment. Maybe they thought they were doing the right thing, challenging Christ. So with that, we are actually going to jump into the gospel. We're going to read today's gospel, which is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. It's chapter 11, verses 14 through 23. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke to the crowd, and the crowds were amazed. Some of them said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." It's the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that's a powerful message from the gospel. And it reveals something very important about the mission of Jesus Christ and the reality of the spiritual battle between good and evil. The passage begins with Jesus performing a miracle. He casts out the demon from the man who had been mute. And as soon as the demon leaves, the man begins to speak and the crowd is amazed, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but not everyone responds with faith. They point the finger at him. They say, "Who is this man? How is he doing this?" And some people accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul. We heard that. They call him the prince of demons, who was considered the prince of demons. And others demand a sign from heaven. They want him to prove himself, prove his authority. By whose authority are you doing this, right?
We know he's not doing that.
Yeah. And Jesus was calm and he was reasonable. Stayed in his peace, right?
He did.
That's always amazing. Because whenever you get accused, think about that. If you were out and you were giving a talk and someone just started accusing you publicly, right?
After you did something so amazing.
After you did something so beautiful and amazing, your automatic human response anyway would be like, put him up. You know?
He just hit every mercy in that prayer. Eyes, ears, tongue, hands. He just did something, you know.
Yeah. A great example. That's a great tie-in. Who even knew?
Right, and what an act of mercy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to educate them a little bit, and he tries to I would think, give them a little reason, right? And tell them that the kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and if Satan were casting out Satan, his own kingdom would collapse. So, evil cannot defeat evil. If demons are being driven out, then something greater is here. Something greater is happening.
Right.
And they were missing the point. We're blinded by our own ignorance, right? Sometimes we can't even see ourselves.
Well, I don't think we can ever see ourselves.
But. And they were focused on the wrong things. So God's reign, he was trying to show us that God's reign is breaking into the world. Something greater is here. The kingdom of God is upon you. Right? And evil is being confronted and it's being overcome.
Yes.
And that's just like Lent, at the end of Lent, the end of the death, the resurrection, he overcame death. He overcame sin and death. So it seems to us that...
Because he was greater.
Yeah. And time again, he's showing us. He's telling us through stories. He's demonstrating for us. And yet we still sometimes lack.
He's the king of king, and that's where your hope comes from.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that doesn't fall under his reign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's also, you know, it says a house divided will fall, right? A kingdom divided will fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another good lesson.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier, even in America, and we were talking about a character program that we were just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that we were watching a video about a general who talked about how
To build bridges.
How to build bridges with people that are very opposite, like the war room right now. You mm-hmm. know, when you both have your pillars of your beliefs, and this is where I am, and this is where I am. And the bending to make the bridge starts with the commonality. You know, we're both human. We both have families. We love our families. We love our faith. And before you know it, if you can see your commonalities and stick together, you're
what breaks divides down you, the walls a little bit and builds the bridge.
It builds the bridge of what divides you. Mm-hmm. And then you open a door to some kind of discussion. But like here in this country, we used to be able to have opinions and not get upset.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your opinion, I have my opinion, and we get together and compromise and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Agree to disagree.
And mm-hmm. come together and compromise. And it's a message from the Lord. This is how, if you don't do this, you know, you fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And your family.
It's not going to stand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's interesting. He does give us the answers. Even they want a sign, they want this, they want that. He does give us the answers. You just have to seek it out a little bit, dig a little deeper.
Right. He says, I just gave you a sign.
I know. He's like,
were
I
you
just...
not standing here?
Exactly. Yeah. And he's actually using this story to explain his mission, right? To overcome. He's breaking into the world. He's overcoming sin. He's overcoming death. He's coming to save his people. That's exactly what this 24 hours of prayer this week is about. I have come to save my people.
Right. Tomorrow and the next day.
Tomorrow and the next day. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Very timely gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's describing a strong man guarding his house, protecting his possessions. But when someone stronger comes, the stronger one overpowers him, right? That's what we say in the gospel.
So stay strong.
So stay strong.
In your faith, in your family.
Well, and trust in Jesus Christ. Trust the stronger one is Jesus, right?
Right, but even in your...
Yeah, it's a message of hope. And evil does not have the final word, ever. And we know that. We know the ending to the story.
We know who wins.
We know who wins. So we just have to remember, we have to hope, and we have to trust. Those are, I say this every week, it's these words.
And we have to pray.
Yeah, they sound so easy. Okay. You know, Padre right. Pio, pray, hope, don't worry. But when you're in the battle and you're in the thick of it, and your life is on the line, or your finances are on the line, or you're looking at a really bleak situation, it's going to take some guts.
Pray, hope, and don't worry is a PhD.
Oh, that's so much fun. Tara just came up with a new one. We have joy, Jesus, ourselves, and other. Now we have get your PhD.
Right, get your PhD in hope.
In hope. Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
well, and they kind of go in order. If you pray, you can hope. And if you hope, you don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of in order.
Yeah. And he gives us everything we need and then some, right? He gives us the angels. He gives us the saints. He gives us himself. He gives us his word, his promise, scripture, miracles. I mean, I think if I was God, I'd be like, what do you people want from me?
Right.
I've given you everything you need, but he also understands. And most of all, he's given us his mercy, his divine mercy. Because as well-intended as we are, we all fall and fall again.
And sometimes we're allowed to have hardship to increase faith,
yeah, that's
hope,
how we
charity.
Yeah, and that's how you grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace, right?
And compassion.
And compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think the evil one realizes how effective the Lord is and how they're, because he always takes truth and just ever so slightly turns it to make people, draw people in to the bad, right? He takes the good of the Lord and just tweaks it enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, he likes to keep you in fear and keep you, right?
Likes to keep you in the past or yeah. in the future, not mm-hmm. in the present.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. And Jesus reminds us that neutrality, like being Switzerland, doesn't work. He doesn't like that. You can't just be neutral on all these issues. It's a little bit black or white. You're either with them or you're against them. And he shares that.
Right.
Right. And so these people were challenging him. And he said, look, whoever's not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So that's a sobering reality, I would think, if we look at ourselves and we see ourselves in any situation, right? I'm not great with apologetics, so I always feel guilty that if I'm in a situation, for instance, if I'm at a family dinner at someone's house and it's a family that doesn't pray grace before meals, it could be something so simple. There have been instances where I did not speak up. I thought, well, it's not my house. It's not my table. I'll just say grace quietly to myself. And then sometimes I feel really guilty about that. Or if you're somewhere and someone challenges you on the faith or something and you're not standing with Christ, right? Or you're not defending your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, apologetics are important. That can be, I'm sure we run into these situations all the time, even being a light in the darkness when you're out in public.
Well, and I used to feel guilty for it, but then I sort of saw it as a moment of go and research that. Go and learn that apologetics. So sometimes...
Right, teaching so
sometimes
man to fish.
That, yeah. Sometimes that situation would make me feel so guilty. There was someone in my world who, in my younger years, who was adamant that the Blessed Mother was just a regular person. And and I didn't really, I was very young. I didn't really know all the apologetics for it. And I didn't really know all the facts. And, you know, and I knew the facts, but I, whatever, you know what I mean. And for years, I felt so guilty. I left that discussion. And I just said, I can't believe I didn't really defend the Blessed Mother anymore, you know? And I felt so guilty. Like, for years, I felt so guilty. And then finally, I was like, Tara, just go learn it and then stop feeling guilty the next time it happens.
Right.
It won't go down that way. You know what I mean? So
sometimes. And then sometimes even a moment of silence. You let them talk and talk and talk, and then you just stay silent. It might actually cause some pause within them, like, why aren't you coming back at me, or why aren't you rebuttaling me on this, or why aren't you they say that there's a saying, the light
the loudest
shines quietly, right? It doesn't announce itself. The light in the darkness, it just shines quietly. It doesn't come in and announce itself. It's just there,
right?
So maybe just your mere presence was challenging them, which is why they were,
well, that's for sure. Yeah
yeah. And that's then the Holy Spirit will do his work.
So you're saying I shouldn't feel bad because I was meant to be silent in that moment?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you just pray a little prayer to the Holy Spirit and he'll take care of it. You know?
Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. Trusting in the Lord. The Lord will take care. Yeah, so today was a great day. That and these lessons are good. Christ has real authority over evil. His miracles reveal that the power of God is stronger than the forces that harm humanity. Right? The coming of Christ marks the arrival of God's kingdom. It's here. It's upon us. We're always waiting for the second coming. That'll be exciting. But Easter is an awesome time to remember his victory over sin and death.
Yeah.
And the sacraments are a wonderful way that he leaves us with the Holy Spirit, and he leaves us with the sacraments. Right?
Right.
And you know, people, we have the opportunity to experience healing and forgiveness and freedom. The kingdom of God is at work. And like we said, we know the answer. We know we win at the end.
Right.
Woohoo. We are the champions.
But with hope, we also know that we can spread. We can be the spreader of hope.
Yeah. And discipleship requires action, right? Hope, it, we were saying, is a verb. It's not like you don't sit there and say, oh, I hope I, you know, win the lottery, or I hope.
Well, there are days where we have said that. I wouldn't make too much fun of that.
Yeah. But really, we're called to stand with Christ and participate in his ministry and model ourselves after Our Lady, after Christ, after the saints that we all have as examples in our everyday walk.
But when you pull it all together with the prayer of my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my hands.
That's beautiful.
And divine mercy and hope. And you pull all these themes together. It's really how you treat your brother.
You know,
it's really, there's so many people suffering. And just to bring the love before the
Well, be love, be light, put on Christ.
Even if you don't believe the same thing, even if you know, be that bend. Be that bend that creates the bridge.
Yeah. You might be the Bible. That was the greatest compliment she ever received, that someone told her that you're the only Bible I've ever read.
Right.
That is a huge compliment.
Beautiful.
If you could be the Bible that people read. And that could be, are you honking at the guy in front of you at the stop sign? I mean, this morning, we always joke that God is sending you an escort when somebody is really slow, when you're driving behind someone who's really slow. Or I was behind an individual this morning taking my son to school, and I think he thought the stop sign was a red light or something. I mean, he just sat there, and he sat there, and he sat there. And I was like, what goes on with this guy? What is he waiting for? And then so I finally had to honk. I was like, did he fall asleep? Is he on his phone? This is not a red light. Like, let's go, buddy. But these are little moments that you have in the car or at the grocery store or actually at a sports event. Forget it. A sporting event.
I make things up.
Wear your earmuffs.
Either the escort or, light. You know, when we're driving us. Yeah. Do you see that? And I'll say, his wife's having a baby. He's in a hurry. He just cut me off. We'll just start making up scenarios for why the person behaved that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time on sidelines of sporting events, and the behavior of parents on sporting events can be beautiful, or it can be the guy is screaming every profanity at the ref, or if it was a bad call, or maybe not being nice to his own child. But these are everyday instances where you really could put on Christ, and you really could work on being the eyes, the ears, the
tongue.
Hope
and joy, yeah.
Hope and joy. I mean, those are moments for serious reflection, because your heart and soul is into this game and you want the win and you know, you're like, rah, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And you lose yourself in the moment.
Right.
Right? And so thank God for Divine Mercy Sunday. That's all I have to say. When you're at the Eagles game or the Flyers game and you're watching them throw punches or... Yeah, these are not easy times. Or, you know, whatever, you have young kids and they're testing your patience to the very core and you feel like you're going to blow a gasket at them.
Well, when the whatever big things happen in life, you know, someone has a heart attack, you got the aneurysm. It's those are the moments when you sit down and you really soak in and say, I need to step into, you know, faith and hope, and I need to step in and I need to connect with the Lord. And but it's the everyday things where it's a little harder to remember to act the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, watch my mind, watch my lips, watch my heart.
And that's what they say, the little things done well make the big things run smoothly. It's kind of the same theory.
Yeah.
When you get the little everyday things, when you can master those for the most part, you'll be fine in the bigger moments.
Right.
You would hope anyway, right?
And the big moments may be coming, so.
Yeah, right. So get those little moments in order. That's what we all have to work on.
Yeah.
So this was a great show. We're at the end of the hour. I can't believe it. I told Kathleen I'd never thought I'd hear myself say, this hour went so quickly.
Right.
But it actually does. It goes so quickly. I said, Kathleen, the day I say that, you're going to know.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are.
So until next week, thank you for joining us. You are the best listeners, bar none, right?
Yeah.
And we appreciate you. We love you. And we mean it.
And I think
God bless. And pray. March 13th and 14th, 24 hours of prayer, even if it's at home. Join in.
Join in. At the Pope's request.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And we'll keep all our listeners in prayer. I know there's a lot of listeners that have illnesses and a lot of friends and family. And we just hold them up in prayer.
Yep.
Amen. We hope Kathleen's having a great time in Florida and that it's warm and sunny.
Yay.
God bless. We'll see you next week.
're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 K Camden, Philadelphia.